Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
How to avoid falling into temptation. And this is so incredibly crucial for the Christian life. So important. We almost can't overemphasize. I'm just going to read my notes here. Resisting temptation is one of the most important things we as Christians need to do while on earth in order to stay free and fulfill our life mission. How many of you know that? Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer to ask God every day. The Lord's Prayer is a model of prayer that we should do every day, right? Give us this day our daily bread. So every single day we are supposed to say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So if we're supposed to be praying that every day, that means every day is a battle with temptation. And we need to be on our toes, and we need to be praying about that and aware. It's so incredibly crucial. And I think by the end of today, we'll see how important it is. Let's read our 1 Corinthians passage that we're going to be studying today. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 11 through 13. It says, now all these things happened to them as examples, and we remember that the previous verses were talking about Israel in the desert and the mistakes that they were making as an example to us. And they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Watch out. Verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape. Everybody say, way of escape. We are so grateful to the Lord for that, that you may be able to bear it. And so there's 3 points today. Point one is from verse 11. Point two is from verse 12. And point three is from 13, so really easy, hopefully, to remember. And here's what this passage tells us to avoid falling into temptation. Number one, know your Bible, right? Know your Bible. That's the first thing the Apostle Paul did, is explain to the Corinthians, here's what it says in the Bible. All these, the Israelites did this and this, and this is what happened, and there were consequences. And he was just reading to them their Bible. And so we need to know our word. These things are written for our admonition, right? He was telling the Corinthians, take sin seriously, because the stories he was sharing, do you remember a couple weeks ago? I mean, the Lord sent fiery serpents, venomous serpents, to bite them and kill them because they had been complaining. This is serious stuff, and so God is trying to let us throughout the history of humanity know, guys, sin is so serious. This is a matter of life and death, right? They had fallen into idolatry, if you remember, sexual sin with the Moabites, if you remember that, the Moabite women, complaining, and the results were always really disastrous. It was always death in some really horrible way. And this is so that we would learn how serious sin is. And the Corinthians were kind of just like, yeah, it's okay. We're good, Apostle Paul. And he was like, no. Listen, we're going to talk about sin, and it's really serious. And I want to take just a little parentheses. And Pastor Jessica, I forgot to mention, she was supposed to preach today. We swapped dates. And like Pastor Dan mentioned last night in the service, we had a healing weekend and she got sick. So he's like, I don't know how to explain that. So she just was like, let's swap. And so I'm like, absolutely, anything for you, Pastor Jess. And so let's just keep her in our prayers. We want her to just bounce back and be all good. But she did send me a couple notes and said, hey, I just want you to, you know, remember this, and if you can do this. And she wants us to just revisit sexual sin. Can we do that for a minute? Let's talk about that. And I think that throughout the year, this is not something we can just do one teaching on. Is that right? We're going to need to keep revisiting it. And Pastor Sue did such a phenomenal job, covered every base, shared personal stories. I mean, it was just one of my personal favorites. It was so good. But again, why do we need to revisit this over and over? It was just a reminder, because our culture is getting so far away from God's ways. So I think that this is something that as a women's ministry, we cannot just do once a year. We got to get back to. So the world has their way, right? Nowadays, it's you move in together first, then you get married, right? I remember back when I was a kid, that was called shacking up. That was not like cool. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Why is that normal? What? Our culture is drifting away. Okay, so we need to keep this particular topic at the forefront. Here's God's way. God's way is to create sex. He created sex, remember? He made our bodies. It's amazing. It's a deep unifying bond between a man and a woman who have entered into the marriage covenant. I know most of you know this, but there might be some people here, and this is a little new, okay? And here's another little parenthesis. We can be telling our kids this. So if you're not sure how to say it, here's some ideas. Here's how to say it when they're in junior high, maybe even when they're preteen. They're growing up so early, okay? Between a man and a woman who have entered into the marriage covenant. God even created our bodies to shed blood when that marriage is consummated. That means when they have sex for the first time as virgins, there's the shedding of blood. It's not a light thing. It's a covenant sealed by blood. The Bible says they became one flesh. That's in Genesis 2. Are we all getting that? We're all understanding. I want to review really quick something that we studied back in 1 Corinthians 6, because this is just so crucial. It says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? A harlot is a prostitute. Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? See, the temple worship, they had prostitutes. And how interesting that Satan knows that in this false religion, many times there was illicit sex going on. Why? Let's look at this. Verse 16 again, this is 1 Corinthians 6:16. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. Verse 17, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. So a couple things there. Number one, sexual sin is unique. Among the sins, it's a little bit different because it's a sin against our own body. Okay, number two, here's another lesson from that particular passage. There is a bond. Anytime two people have sex, whether they want it or not, when that man goes into the temple of their time, to have sex with a prostitute, he's not wanting a deep bond with her, right? They just want to fling, but there is a bond happening. And that is what we call a soul tie. A soul tie. So we're going to talk about that for just a minute. And I want to encourage you, for those of you who have been through Breaking Free, can I just see the hands of those who've been through Breaking Free? So many of you, so good, right? And there's such a beautiful discussion about soul ties. It is just, it's so in-depth. It's way better than what we can do right here. We're going to just touch on it briefly because this is for today. This is something that the Lord wanted us to bring today real quick. Soul ties. Okay, our actions, soul ties can be broken through repentance and prayer. What we speak has power. Okay, so those things can be broken. Because I know what some of you are thinking. You're going, I think I might have a soul tie because I've had sex with people that were not my husband. And so there's a little concern there. And I just feel to do something. I was going to do this at the end, but how about we pray
right now about those soul ties. Can we do that? We're all just going to pray together. Let's break soul ties today. Shall we? Let's declare it with our mouth. Spiritual things happen because we declare them out loud and we believe it in our heart. Amen. And let's just break those things right now. Again, I was going to wait to the end, and I just feel like the Lord is saying, do it now. Amen. So just repeat after me. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. First, we just surrender to the Lord like we did with that beautiful song at the end. We just lay our whole life down again. We declare that we're turning away from sexual sin, and then we're just going to break it. Okay? So say this with me from your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I turn away from all sexual immorality. I believe you died on the cross to pay for my sins and cleanse me. I receive your cleansing. Thank you so much, Lord. I now declare that every soul tie on my life because of sexual sin is now broken and severed in the name of Jesus. He has set me free. Now let's just praise him right now. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Let me just pray over you. Father God, we seal these words by the blood of Jesus, the precious blood that was poured out, that erases all sin, that calls us higher, brings us before your throne dressed in pure robes of white. Oh, Lord God, you call us your perfect daughters. You call us your princess, and you're causing us to grow and advance in you. We thank you that those things are removed. Every chain is broken now. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen. Praise God. One side note, too, is you might need to take steps. If you feel a connection, if you feel that soul tie with that person, maybe they're on your social media, and when you see their page come up or their stuff, it tugs on your heart. Get rid of that. Cut that off. Cut it, right? If you own something with that person, sell it, get rid of it, even if you have to take a financial loss. Cut that soul tie in Jesus' name. Amen? If they gave you something, if there is an object you still have that belonged to that person, you just cut the soul tie. Get rid of that thing. Amen? And it could be a process. And again, breaking free is just so beautiful because it's just such a beautiful process. You know, they talk about in breaking free, you might have to wean yourself off and just get those roots out. And you do it in community, and it is just amazing. Amen. So let's move on. We were talking about knowing the Word of God. So we keep the Word of God constantly before us to keep us alert and aware of the traps and temptations around us. Jesus told the Sadducees, you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. And they thought they were experts. And he was saying, you don't know the scriptures. I don't want God to have to say to me, why don't you know the scriptures I gave you? Why don't you know? Because we weren't studying, right? He's wanting to meet with us every day to eat spiritually. That is to consume his word like food. Bring him into the process, he says. Eat together. Let's look at Revelation 3:20. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, what's going to happen? I will come in and dine with him. That is your time in privacy with the Lord, where you're eating together. You're reading the word together. It's like you're reading it literally together, and you're asking him questions, and he's showing you things. He's highlighting things. It says, I will come to him and dine with him, and he with me. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture, say all scripture, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Please don't omit or cast aside anything in the Bible. Amen? There is nothing that is insignificant. It is all useful in some way, and the Lord knows. So let's end well. I've heard this a lot. Let's end well. In other words, let's get to the end of our days still going strong for the Lord. And this is a scary thought for me. It's possible to make foolish choices at the end of our lives because we got away from God's word. May we stay close to God's word. Keep it ever before us, because I don't know about you, but I forget. Let's know our word. Number two, stay teachable. Stay teachable. A teachable person says, Lord, show me your way of doing things. I need you. I need you, Lord. You know, the pastor of pastors, the apostle, the greatest, most spiritual person on the planet needs to have a teachable heart. Lord, I need you. I may know a lot, but I am still growing. No matter how spiritually mature someone is, the truth is, if they're still on earth, they are still under construction. They are still growing. They still need every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. There's still a process. And the Corinthians were feeling like they were pretty mature in the Lord already. And you can see it in other scriptures we won't mention today, but he certainly says in our passage today, 1 Corinthians 10:12, let's remind ourselves, it says, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Apparently there were some people that thought they were pretty solid already. And the Apostle Paul is having to say, hey, watch out. Keep your heart open. Stay teachable. Even spiritual leaders need to stay humble when correcting someone else. Let's look at that. That's Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, like the mature ones, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Right? Are we ever saying, here's a little test. Well, I can't believe she did that. I would never do that. Right? The way they raise their kids or speak to their husband or just decisions. Well, I can't believe she did that. I would never. Yikes, ladies. We got to catch ourselves. Right? Yeesh. We can't say that. That is what the Pharisees were like. Let's look at that. Jesus told the story about a Pharisee who prayed, I thank you, God, that I am not like him, the tax collector. Remember that one? God rejected the Pharisee that day, but accepted the humble tax collector, and that's in Luke 18. It's a shame most of the Pharisees weren't teachable, right? They thought they knew everything. The Apostle Paul was a Pharisee. He said, I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was like deep. And he had to be knocked to the ground by God to receive the truth. Let's be teachable. Amen. Let's look at Peter. I like to read this. It's just hilarious to me. I don't know. Matthew 26:33. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. What happened a few hours later? He stumbled, he betrayed Jesus, he, you know, totally embarrassed himself. He needed to stay teachable. David, you know, the man after God's own heart. Right, Bathsheba, you got it. You know, that was later in his life. Gideon, I don't know if you guys remember the teaching my husband did a couple Wednesdays ago. Gideon was amazing. He was following God's voice so closely, had a huge army. Obeyed the Lord, got it down to 300 people. I mean, he was obeying the Lord like step by step. And then after the victory, he made an ephod to be worshipped like an idol. Like, what happened, you know? We all have to remain vigilant against temptation, no matter where we are in our walk with the Lord. Amen? I just want to add a little note here. Remember, being tempted is not a sin. Even Jesus was tempted, so don't accept condemnation when you are tempted. It's only sin if we give in. Okay? All right. Point number three. Here's an important step in resisting temptation. Know that you can overcome temptation. We can do this. This is what the Apostle Paul is telling them. These should be words of comfort to us. Let's read 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You got to bear it sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't totally go away. You just bear it. You just keep on keeping on. Amen. Remember, so what is the Apostle Paul saying here? Your temptation isn't extra difficult, right? Stop feeling like you have a good excuse to fall into sin. Like, God, no one else has gone through what I'm going through. I just can't help it. I have to fall into sin. No, we are all experiencing the same tricks from Satan. Okay, and that should be comforting to us. Like, surely there's other people that are experiencing this. Yes. Yes. God made sure, here's another thing we're learning from verse 13. God makes sure that the temptation doesn't overwhelm you by giving you an escape route. He's giving you a way. He's giving you a strategy to get out of that temptation. It may be hard, but at least you weren't taken out by sin. See, when we fall into sin, it can literally take us out of our walk with the Lord. It's really a matter of life and death. And so let's look at what Jesus says, okay, about how to avoid sin. Matthew 5:30. This is a tough one. And if your right hand causes you to stumble into sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It's like the hiker who fell and got a hand trapped under a boulder. He cut off the hand and walked to the nearest road for help. He lost a hand but saved his life. People don't think he's crazy. They think he did the right thing, right? If we knew how dangerous entertaining sin in our lives is, we would go to great lengths to get it out. Okay, so I think that Jesus sees something maybe we don't see, which is if something is causing you to sin, you need to take swift action. You know, it could be a job. You know, there's someone at the job who is like you're feeling attracted to. It's a temptation. And maybe he's starting to, you know, make comments. You know, it could be a relative. It could be, what is going on? Take action. I remember I used to have a CD, and so I was out there promoting it, and I would sing at special events and sing at church anniversaries and all that stuff. And my record label had another guy who had also recorded his CD, so they were scheduling us a lot at the same time. And, you know, he was young and good-looking and just long hair, you know, whatever. Some of y'all are like, ew. Anyway, and you know, he made a couple comments to me, and I was like, this is not good, because I could feel myself being drawn, you know. What did I do? I went to my husband and told him. You see? And I did not have any more appointments or any kind of more gigs with that guy. And he might have been totally innocent. I'm not saying he was trying to do anything wrong. I mean, maybe, I don't know. I just know that was not for me. Swift action. Cut it off. I needed those gigs. Who cares? I need my marriage. And thank God for a husband who was mature enough not to freak out and, you know, right? And he's had to tell me some things too, and we just want to have an open relationship and keep each other in accountability. Amen. So please do what you need to do, you know? it might seem crazy, but the Lord sees from heaven, and he sees, I see what you're doing there, and I will honor that. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 12:4. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Yikes. Let's keep that in mind when we're like, this is so hard. You know. Oh my goodness, and I am not without my share. I am in a battle, you know, getting off caffeine, then getting back addicted to it, and getting off it, you know. These are little battles, and you're like, that's your battle? That's so small. Well, for me, it's a big deal. For me, it's kind of a big deal. And sugar, you know, and sweets and all that stuff. And it's just like, you know, it's like, God, it's just so hard. I've had such a hard day. Eat, 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 right? And here it says, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. I'm like, God, I'm such a wimp. Help. Help me, Lord, right? We're all in process. And this is why we need messages like this to just inspire us again to have that fresh resolve and cry out to God and say, God, this cannot take me down. You know, who knows? You know what this is doing to my health. You see so perfectly what's happening in my body and with my cells and everything. He knows. And so he is there. That Holy Spirit brings us conviction even with the little things. He's faithful. So we can't say this too much. And I'm always happy to hear messages that things I already know. These are things we know, but it's so good to hear them again because it reinvigorates us. I love a good message on marriage, on child raising, on, you know, I've loved our talks on healthy food and stuff I know. But when you hear it again, you're like, oh yeah, let me get rid of all that white flour in my house and get it, you know, just like you reset. So hopefully this is a good reset for us. Our great example, Jesus Christ, did resist sin to the point of shedding blood, didn't he? His temptation was to cancel his death on the cross. He felt tempted to take an easier path, to disobey his Father. You remember that? That was his, when he was in Gethsemane, he was saying, Lord, he was telling his disciples, pray against temptation. His temptation was the 10,000 angels that were right there poised to do whatever he wanted. He had to stay silent and said, no. I got to do this. I got to do this. What was his way of escape from that temptation? This is just a theory. I think he had a mental escape. I think he had some things he was thinking of to help him not think about that option. Remember, he said, Lord, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to do this. I'm scared. This is horrible. And in just a few weeks, we're going to be celebrating this for Easter. How did he resist? I think the Bible gives us a clue when it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He was thinking about the joy. That was his escape. He was thinking, this is going to be so good. There's going to be such joy because he was seeing you and me. He was seeing our faces and knowing that we were going to be able to be with him. Amen. And so he went all the way. He bled for us and he went all the way to death. He was thinking about us. Aren't you so glad that he didn't fall into those temptations? Amen. We're so grateful. So grateful. He went all the way to hell and back. And he knows and understands what it feels like to be tempted. He knows what it feels like. In Hebrews, it says he's our great high priest. He understands. It's hard. It's hard. He knows that. But if we do these three things, we stick to God's word, if we stay humble, right, and teachable, and if we know that we can overcome temptation, we will be on the path to victory. Amen? Did God speak to you today? Come on, just give him a big hand. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.